The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
19 minutes before 10 o'clock, Caleb Gordon here in for Paul Miller. They're going to be asking, how long is that freighter going to be stuck down in Marine City? It is the American Courage. I think it's about 600-700 footers, so not one of the big ones, but it was coming from Stoneport up near Alpena with a load of limestone for the stone dock in Marine City, and looks like it got stuck on its way going into the stone dock. So, Coast Guard is on the scene, and they're assessing if there's any damage to the freighter. No, it doesn't appear to be any damage, but we'll keep you updated as that becomes available. Glenn Stevens is with Mish Auto. This has been a transportation theme hour. And the transportation theme hour here, talking about trains. The last segment, we just talked about ships, and now we're going to talk about cars. Glenn, hello.
Good morning, Caleb. Always good to be with the folks in the Blue Water region. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. It's been a busy morning. Paul's been off for 10 days here. He's back tomorrow, though. So things will be back to normal a little bit. And speaking of back to normal, are auto manufacturers going back to normal, or should I say the new normal, now that the UAW strike has been resolved against all three?
Well, we certainly use that new normal expression a lot the last few years, haven't we? And I'm not sure what that means, but there's no question that the relationship between the UAW and their employers changed dramatically, and probably it's going to change forever. So it's been an interesting last couple months.
Yeah, so let's kind of go back to what? It's September, right? Where we're talking that the first walkouts happened in September?
Yep,
the contract 14th. Expired? Okay. Very good. So almost 2 months ago now, those contracts expired, and it was a really a different strike strategy. Looking back at it in the rearview mirror for the UAW, it seems to have been successful, but kind of this targeted strike against all three simultaneously. And that really caused some supply chain headaches, didn't it, Glenn?
It did, and it definitely has been a dynamic time. It has been different. Of course, the UAW themselves has been coming off of a lot of turmoil, corruption, strife, brand new leader that wasn't elected with a mandate, barely was elected, and all of a sudden we have a whole new kind of almost guerrilla tactics from a negotiation social media standpoint, some would argue very disrespectful tactics, but it's a negotiation, and no one would also argue that labor deserved and needed a raise and got that. Some would call it a big win, and nobody really wins in a situation like this. And hopefully, together they can forge a partnership for the future, because we need them to be partners in our industry here in Michigan.
So right now the process is ratifying this tentative agreement. I guess some voting is going on at Ford. Looks like it's going to pass there. Stellantis and GM are supposed to start voting on their contracts later on this week. So what does this mean for these plants that were targeted? Are people back at work now? Are they slowly getting back to work? Or do we have to wait for it to be fully ratified before everyone's back in these factories?
No. They're back to work. In fact, they're during the, right when the TB tentative bargaining agreements were announced, in the case of Ford, they went right back to work. And that's a good thing. The suppliers needed that too. A lot of suppliers took this very hard. If you supplied one of those OEM assembly plants and you had parts going on like the Bronco or the Ranger, you got hit hard. Some companies didn't get hit hard because the mix of their products wasn't affected by the strike, and then there were a lot that were hit a little bit, but no question it was hard on the supplier industry and the communities around it, and it was hard on the folks out on the picket line too. So hopefully things are settling down and we're cranking back into a market that needs vehicles.
Yeah, some of the victories for the union here is that they were able to get those price hikes, and they kind of vary between, 20 and 25%, depending on the automaker, but it will be a significant boost in pay based on these negotiations?
Yeah, they were significant. There were lots of requirements or demands from the UAW, and there are literally hundreds of local issues that need to be resolved every time there's a contract that comes up. But there were 10 major kind of asks or demands that the UAW set forward. And they were able to win on many of them: wages, cost of living adjustments, faster acceleration from a lower tier worker to a full tier employee with the UAW, and that benefits, on the compensation side. Pensions, not so much. The 30-hour or 32-hour work week, not so much. But, overall, they were able to really win a lot for their members and came out of it very strong. We're hoping that there wasn't a lot of damage done, because it was very contentious at times, as you saw.
Yeah, those last two items I knew were kind of dead on arrival. I thought it was kind of strange to even ask for the pensions back after they were lost in the bankruptcies of GM and Chrysler, 15 years ago now. So it was kind of strange to want something back that could be lost so easily again if they were to go to bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, there was a line that the OEMs, the vehicle manufacturers, couldn't cross, and that is to become just so uncompetitive versus some of their foreign competitors here that build vehicles, the Toyota, the Honda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and even Tesla and Rivian. That's the competition, and there has been a wide disparity in the overall burden labor rates between those companies and the Detroit Three. That widened even further with this negotiation. But as we also know, Mr. Fain and the UAW leadership have set their sights on organizing plants that are in the Mid-South and the South, and that is really going to be interesting to see moving forward.
Well, I want to talk more about this competitiveness, and we're speaking to Mish Auto, President and Executive Vice President with the Detroit Chamber, Glenn Stevens. Glenn, did I get your title correct?
Close enough.
I'm sorry. It's a long
it's
one.
Fine, no,
but
it's,
he's an auto industry insider and works with a lot of these, both the big three and their suppliers. I want to talk about competitiveness, because one of the things that I know you have stated since the beginning of this strike is that by asking for more money, it's essentially going to cost more for the average person to go buy a vehicle. I mean, it's just common sense. Those expenses, that 20-25% pay hike, will be passed on to consumers one way or another when they go to buy their next new vehicle. But then I look at some of these other automakers, foreign automakers, they're looking to raise their prices and also increase their compensation too, and they're not UAW represented. So Glenn, does this really hurt competitiveness when you look at others like Toyota and Honda also increasing wages?
Well, when you look at let's look at the Detroit 3 and the UAW, the new agreement, that does increase your operating costs. And where does that come out of? Well, there's three areas that can come out of. One, the company's going to figure out how to be more efficient. They're just flat out going to do that. That could be through the reduction or consolidation of white-collar salary jobs. They're certainly going to look to their supply base to take it cost reductions out of the supply base. The problem there is the supply base can't give anymore. They've been giving and giving and giving, so that's not the best option. And so that means, do you charge more higher prices for your vehicles, which is the third component, the consumer hurts. And so we are going to see that. Ford has said that the average price of their vehicle or the cost of it is going to go up somewhere around $800 to $900. That has to come from somewhere in a market where the vehicles are already extremely expensive. The average transaction price for a vehicle, I believe, is around $48,000. I mean, that's incredible. And with interest rates, it makes it even worse.
Yeah. No, that is a lot. Glenn Stevens from Mish Auto, talking about the UAW tentative agreement that's getting ratified, auto suppliers, hopefully calling people back if they had to lay off people. What does the outlook for 2024 appear to be in the automotive sector?
It looks pretty positive. I actually checked with a couple of analysts, friends of mine, that forecast the market We look at a rate which is called the SAR rate, the seasonally adjusted annual rate of selling of North American vehicles. That's kind of an industry benchmark standard number. And that number has been hovering at a pretty low number, but this year it should come in, even the strike adjusted, at about 15.5 million sales in the U.S. Next year, they're projected to be in the low 16 million. So we do look at next year as a pretty positive year for the industry.
Glenn, I heard this in the news, Bloomberg report earlier this morning here on WPHM. It caught my attention, so I jotted it down, so I made sure to ask you about it. And that Stellantis, the owner of the Dodge Ram brand, is investing in EVs and making an EV version of their most popular selling pickup truck. But one of the EV versions of it is going to come with a gas generator. So if you run out of battery power, you fill up the generator with gas and you keep on going and you don't have to worry about charging. At the surface level, or at least when I heard that, I have to say, boy, is that even considered an EV at that point?
Oh, it's certainly a new form of hybrid, that's for sure. it's the Ram 1500 Ram Charger. The truck can operate as a zero emission EV until the battery dies, and then there's an electric onboard generator that kicks on to power the vehicle. This is new. I will tell you, the first thing I thought about was, yeah, it helps with range anxiety, but boy, one of the concerns we have with EVs, and I'm an EV proponent, is how heavy they are. Because of the battery, now you're going to put a generator on board. I mean, the vehicle is really probably going to approach close to 8,000 pounds, and that's because the Lightning F-150, I believe, is around 7,500 pounds. These vehicles are very heavy. So this is an interesting development. But again, it's in some ways a game changer for trucks because people don't want to deal with that range anxiety, particularly people with using them as work trucks.
There are some bridges in St. Clair County that truck couldn't go over.
That is another thing that I thought about this morning. We already know, I mean, one of Michigan's issues is that we have very heavy allowances for over-the-road hauling. You know, I believe it's around 100,000 pounds. So our roads take a beating because of industry, and the more weight you put on these roads, no matter where it is, particularly bridges, and you know out your way, you have lots of bridges. That is a concern. Safety and crashes. Crash energy management is another thing that I think about, too, when I think about how heavy some of these vehicles are.
Yeah, the momentum certainly is
right.
Going to be hard to stop. I just think about all of this stuff that when it comes to EVs, and I think that the latest thing with the generator on the Ram truck just kind of sent me a little bit over the edge on this. Are we just not ready for this? Are we just not ready for this yet? Are we pushing too hard on this? Obviously, this is the future, and this is coming, but are we pushing it a little too hard right now?
Well, that is the raging debate. Some would say that is definitely the case with policy and government intervention, but that is happening globally. Now, we're not the only country that's doing that. No question we're not ready for it. There's also no question that this is happening. The adoption growth curve is going to be much slower than a lot of the experts were projecting, and including probably the OEMs, but there's no question it's happening. But there's a lot of headwinds too. And as I was telling you before, I just took a F-150 Lightning on the road for 2 weeks to test it, test the technology, but also to test the infrastructure. And I can tell you that the charging infrastructure is so far from being ready to be able to handle mass adoption. So that's a big concern too.
Did you put a pickup? Did you put a little generator in the bed of your pickup truck just in case?
No, but I'm telling you, with how frustrating it was to charge in some of these areas, particularly rural, but even city areas like Columbus. So I drove it to West Virginia and back for a conference, and I'd have loved to have a generator because I spent so much time charging that vehicle. It was kind of comical, and I knew what I was going to be doing, but it really made me realize that, A, the technology is unbelievable. That F-150 Lightning and the technology on it is really amazing, but we're just not ready with the infrastructure right now. And I don't want to be driving around, you know, the roads and ruralies and the trip and wherever I'm going and having to constantly be looking at that range and have that range anxiety. And that's what we have right now. And that's one of the reasons why the Ram Charger, this little advancement, technological advancement has happened.
Glenn Stevens with Mish Auto. Thanks for taking some time this morning to talk to us about the strike. Again, we checked in with you several times during the strike and even leading up to it. And it's kind of a good resolution here. I know, obviously, could have been better, could have been worse, but at least we got this resolved. And we won't have to worry about any labor issues for at least 3 more years, at least in the auto sector, right?
That's right. Actually, it's going to be extended. It'll be a longer contract this year than I believe it's 4.5 years that they've gone to. So it's going to be a little bit of a reprieve, but, you know, from a constant cycle. But it'll be really interesting to see how the organizing efforts go in the South as the UAW turns its attention to right-to-work state and assembly plants that have never been organized.
Talking about some of the Honda and some of the you know, others down that way. That will be something to watch for sure. Glenn Stevens with Mish Auto and the Detroit Regional Chamber. I appreciate your time this morning here on WPHM.
Caleb, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Have a good one. That's Glenn Stevens. I'm Caleb Gordon. Hey, I'm out of here. That's it for the morning show. Paul Miller, back tomorrow. Thanks for bearing with me these past couple of days. Thanks to all our guest hosts. And anything that you missed will be making its way to the website more momentarily. You can check out the podcast at WPHM.net.